What's poppin', everybody? This is Logan Murdoch, and I'm here with my co-host for the Real Ones podcast on the Ringer NBA show, the incomparable, the realest, the man who invented the pregame Red Bull snow cone, Raja Bell.
Thank you, Logan. You're far too kind, sir. Did you know that the Ringer NBA show feed now has 6 podcasts a week? 6. Every Sunday, Big Waz has a different guest from the NBA world on Weekends with Waz.
And you can find me and Raja every Monday and Thursday on Real Ones, where we cover all the most interesting NBA storylines.
On Tuesdays, J. Kyle Mann and Jonathan Charks discuss up-and-coming talent in college basketball and the NBA.
And on Wednesdays, you can hear Justin Verrier, Rob Mahoney, and Big Waz discuss any and everything going on in the world of hoops.
Man, and on Friday, Chris Ryan and Sirich Sohi ask the big questions on the answer.
So head over to the Ringer NBA show's Spotify page and take a listen. There's so much to dive into.
And while you're there, just go ahead and give us a follow too.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Shut off the music.
Shut it.
I was in a decent mood today. I've been introduced to our new producer, Mike. It's his first day on the show.
Which he seems really great.
I don't know
so far.
What I did to Simmons. I was texting him. We had a good conversation this week.
Oh, people don't even know we have a third producer, though. They didn't know that.
Leave the jokes to me.
That's not a joke.
I was talking to Simmons this week, thought things went pretty well, and then I get stuck with a producer who's a Yankees fan. So, Mike, anything to say for yourself as a Yankees fan?
If anybody was wondering what happened to Carlos, he was great. Loved him. However, our schedules did not work out, it turns out. But Mike, how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Wargon.
Wargon.
Mike, are you born and raised a Yankees fan? Is this like something you've been troubled with since birth?
Yeah, I'm from North Jersey. So,
Mike, just let original Mike and
you know what? That's fine. I'm willing to overlook it.
Join forces in your New England sports love.
Mike, would you agree that after 2004, this Red Sox-Yankees rivalry is dead?
Oh, absolutely. The players are all friends now.
Thank you. Okay. You know what? Mike, we're good.
Wow.
And we're hey.
By the way, are we calling him Mike? Because now I'm getting confused.
MW, MG. We're good.
Can I just call you Mike? Do I also have to change your name too?
Don't ever speak to Mike
again.
Guys,
here's the thing. Stop what you're doing right now. You're listening to Sports Cards Nonsense with Gio and Sports Boy.
Oh, my God.
You need to stop what you're doing and go and just do us a small solid. Go to your app store, whether that's iOS or Android, and download Card Shop Live.
Oh, by the way, we're trending.
That is an app.
Yep, we are trending, the new app we just built.
That has been created, and it is all about sports cards. It's about buying, selling, but also community. And it's also where we're going to be doing content, including this Friday and Saturday with giveaways. Please get on there if you want to just hang out with us, because that's pretty much all we're going
to
be doing.
I was told to say it's trending. So
I was told to say trending?
All right, that's enough of this positive crap. Here's my rant for the show.
What positive?
One rant per show.
No.
Go ahead and mute your microphone.
No.
Last week, it was people making up their children. That's why they couldn't get boxes.
I'm muting
people being liars. I forget what the other... Oh, and saying that the hobby was ruined for such and such a reason, even though the hobby is thriving.
Tell us, Mike, what are you negative about today?
Let me tell you the people I hate today.
Oh, my God.
People who do nothing but whine about breakers. Breakers are ruining the hobby. Breaks
Who's
are...
Who's saying this? You know what you're doing? This is manifest destiny. You are saying it into existence.
No, I just pay attention to our social media, and I see what the comments are
being made. Two people make a comment,
incorrect.
And therefore everyone does.
It was a talking point, so just be quiet for a second.
Oh, my God.
Breaking is ruining it. It is driving up the pricing. It is unbelievable. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to the hobby. Let me just break this down. A few things that are just totally asinine about this statement. First of all, box prices have gotten high because the market is hot because the single side is high. When single pricing goes up, boxes follow. When single prices drop, box prices drop. But because there's been a sustained crazy high price on boxes for the past, call it 3 years roughly, breaking has absolutely exploded because people needed a cheaper way to buy into product that they still wanted to rip. Hey, I can't go out and buy a $2,500 immaculate football box, even though I love the product, but I can go buy the Chicago Bears there for $400. Or, hey, I can't get into this product this year, Bowman, even though I love Bowman, because this year the Rays have two awesome prospects and I just can't afford to get in. I can't buy the box because the prospect is driving the price up. Great. Go just buy the team or a random spot and take a shot for much, much cheaper. I would actually contend breaking has been overall great for the hobby and great for the spend. Now, that does not mean that there are not plenty of useless people in the breaking space, just like anywhere else. I would tell you, shop around, find people who price things competitively, and avoid these guys who are just full-out, nonstop retail breakers. Just stick with quality community hobby breakers. But as a whole, breakers are not bad for the hobby. That is a dumb thought. It's something I keep reading this week. There's no place for it. I cannot wait to talk about positive things. Jesse, run it down. What is that?
It's crickets.
I didn't tell a joke, though. I don't know why that plays.
Because
okay, another rant.
Here's the thing. You bad can say sound things. Effects. You can make comments in a positive way. I don't know if you knew that. You
could say to. It. Just run, do the rundown. I didn't want to. That was my rant.
All right. Whatever.
I like you to do what? My rant. I enjoy it.
Wait. Say one more thing. Say it. Say just anything.
No. All right, cool.
In the rundown.
I would have to think Mike has been on this show for 4 minutes. Mike, honestly, have you ever listened to us before? I'm guessing no, right? You're
it's not okay
a sports card guy?
No. No.
Is this the biggest train wreck of a podcast you've ever like at some point you must have I have to think over the last 5 minutes, you're like, you know, things were going pretty good with the Ringer.
What happened?
What did I do to be subjected to these two morons in a studio together?
No.
Has that thought crossed your mind?
I guarantee it hasn't. Go ahead, Mike. Say your answer.
Hasn't crossed my mind. Loving it.
See? Look at that. He knows.
I like Mike. I like Mike more than Ronick. I like Mike more than Carlos. I like him a lot more than Corey. So we're good.
You just badmouth every other producer.
Badmouth anybody. I just said he's the best. Okay, here we go.
All right, so hit him with the rundown, and it's not going to be a big rundown because we're talking NBA playoffs and we're talking Ariel Helwani from the Ringer himself, the UFC man.
Massive grade reveal.
Oh yes. We are going to do a massive grade reveal, and of course, mailbag to. And I'm trying to think the timing. We only have 5 minutes to do NBA playoffs.
Let me bang out my grade reveal then.
We'll do that, and then we'll do a little NBA playoff after Helwani.
Deal.
Deal.
Yep.
Go.
So we just left Nash Cards. We got a couple big SGC orders back, which was nice. Timing was brutal on some of them, quite frankly. The biggest card back for sure. We got those UFC white sparkle packs when we were in Vegas for the Mint Collective show.
Which
now Jesse is not thrilled with his, but I would tell you this. He got the Kevin Holland rookie that came back in SGC 10. I bet it's worth $200 to $300. It's not cool. The worst thing in the world.
It's cool.
I got a Nate Diaz that came back at 9, probably worth 100, I'm going to guess. 75 to 100.
Oh, no.
The big one, though, I got the Crusade White Sparkle. It is the base one, by the way. I was looking at the optic one.
It's not worth as much as you thought?
No, just the opposite, which is good. This came back at 10 as well. I think that's I'm going to guess that's 3 to 5,000. Like, there's not a ton of comps on stuff like that. He's got his Prism. Super happy about that. That's obviously a big card. Go ahead. No, please.
I have no comment. Whatever.
Why can't you be happy for me?
Don't you dare. I am so happy for you.
No, we also dropped off like 50 cards from our Marvel rip.
Dude,
those are all going SGC.
I'm excited about that. I'm so pumped. It's going to be hard to sell.
I don't think it is actually. I think
No. I mean, just from a personal, like actually care about these. Yeah.
Buy me out. There you go. I subbed a bunch of Nick York refractors. Those are just a hold. I don't really care about those. For some relevant basketball stuff, got back a Desmond Bane. Clearly Don Russ. It's a gold. Came back a 9.5, which is a super tough grade. Clearly Don Russ. The surfaces are so garbage. I was actually pumped to get that back. Not a big card, but Desmond Bane's a baller. Mosaic killed us. I mean, Mosaic. All of our Mosaic came back a 9. So we got a James Harden. Red and yellow fusion that's numbered to 88, came back a 9. The big one, though, was the choice black gold. It's numbered to 8. If that were a 10, I think it'd be a few hundred bucks, came back a 9. And then the Giannis to 88 came back a 9 as well. Not great.
Meh.
One card I dug out of a dollar, but I was buying Robert Williams years ago just on a chance. Mm-hmm. This is why I tell guys, like, if you have a feeling about a player, throw like $50 at it and just throw them in a box and forget about it. So I had talked about this card a couple months ago. Robert Williams obviously came out with no hype, mm-hmm. Very quiet, got injured early, just didn't really fit in with the Celtics. Now he's playing, I mean, he had an unbelievable defensive year this year, playing really good against the Bucks as well. So I've got his 2018 blue ice prism. So it's numbered to 99, came back in SGC 9. The cool thing is the most recent sales are PSA 9s from the beginning of April when he was still injured. Never mind now that he's back actually playing playoff basketball. I'm going to say it's like $300, maybe, somewhere in that range.
That's not bad.
Again, bad timing on us. Evan Mobley, we just got back the Orange Elite, came back in SGC 10. This one worked out well, though. This card's doing like 125 on average raw. This is ours, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess, so it cost us $23 to grade. Again, I think it takes it from 125. I'm going to guess it's a full double up, probably about $250. So the SGC grade there was well worth it.
Oh, 100%.
And we got it back quicker. At least we're still in season. Then we got back our two orders.
When we sent these away to when we got them back, how long was it?
Oh, 20 days. Oh. 22 days.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely worth it.
Then we did finally get back to all of our cards. Again, from Capital Nonsense, Mosaic killed us. We got beat on all the Mosaic. The Brady Silver came back a 9.5.
Is Mosaic historically a harder one to grade?
Surfaces are tough. Oh. The one that came back nice, it'll be a hold till the season. The Silver Trey Lance came back a Mosaic. An SGC 10. So that one's good. And then talk about just wrong grades, wrong time. We got back our Mosaic fast break from our basketball break. Mm-hmm. DeMar DeRozan, I mean, who cares about him at this point?
Yeah.
It's the purple number to 50. It came back at 10. It's probably a $100 card, maybe a little more, but I mean, he just got the crap kicked out of him by the Bucks. This was the one I was really hopeful for. The fast break variation rookie of Tyrese Maxey. He's playing really well. The timing would have been perfect right now to sell before they get eliminated, but it came back an 8.5. That's what you call yuck.
Well, you know, I think we can all say we had fun doing it, though, right? It felt nice. I'm just trying to put a positive spin, bro. It's so hard with me. It's okay. Before we get Helwani in here, one other thing. NFL-wise, we did just put up our YouTube video for the week. A little bit of a throwback to a couple months ago when we had some of the stars of the NFL draft. We got a chance to interview them. We had Aiden Hutchinson, Matt Corral, and Garrett Wilson.
Yep. So the number two pick, Aiden. Again, defensive guy, but he is at least an edge rusher. So if he comes out and has a really good season for the Lions, maybe we get some of that Chase Young effect. You know, and maybe this is a year, as we've talked about, that we start seeing a little bit of the shift go from just quarterbacks for the hobby to kind of other positions. And then Garrett Wilson, they're saying, should be an awesome weapon for Zach Wilson, at least, which we pulled that Zach Wilson card from NT the other day.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually a big card. I mean, maybe he has a big season there, too.
But check out the interviews. They were fun because actually it's not just like one long interview. It's just kind of cut up, makes it a little more entertaining. And they actually talked about the cards that they collected when they were young, and we ripped some packs with them. So, and there may or may not be a Sports Boy Auto in there. Don't like to brag about it.
I have a couple picks from phones while we're waiting on Ariel. I just noticed the eBay thing. I know they've been upping their purchase price for like cards that they're going to review through that CSG thing. I didn't realize this past week they're actually reviewing graded cards now. So now PSA cards that are over $2,000 graded by PSA are still going through this authentication process.
Wait.
That seems ludicrous to me.
Yeah, that's...
I don't like it, but that's
they're
okay.
They're doubling down. Okay. Well, sorry, guys. We got distracted because our guest, the man, the myth, the legend, Ariel Helwani, joined us.
Man, the myth. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Helwani. How are you, sir?
What's happening, guys?
Man, I love your background over there. You look like a learned doctor.
I am.
Like the bookstore? Yeah, man, that's cool. How are you?
How many do you think I've read of these?
Oh, God. Two. I want to say all of them.
All of them.
No,
you're right.
No way.
Have you really?
Yeah.
What is happening here?
Here's the thing.
Do you not think that I'm the kind of guy that would read this many books?
Actually, we open baseball cards for a living. Like, literally, that's our full-time job. This guy's in here drinking tea out of a wooden crate.
That was coconut water.
Coconut water out of a... And he's got a library behind him that I couldn't pronounce the names of.
I've seen a couple of your interviews. I actually do kind of believe it. Wait.
Come on, guys.
Bro, Ariel Helwani is tricking us. It's not a real background.
I don't hate him as much now. I'll tell you that. So
why are you guys live before? Right now?
Yeah, this is all in.
We're going to cut it up. It's not live. We can cut this.
Oh, like I didn't know if I was walking right into.
You walk right. Jesse normally doesn't do that. He just took off with it today. So.
No, I think this is good. Let's just keep it in.
I love it. I know. I love this. This is great.
So Errol Hawani, tell us a little bit about why you are the UFC guy.
Why am I the UFC guy? I don't know if I am the UFC guy, to be honest.
Well,
I think Dana White
would
claim otherwise. I've been covering MMA for a while, I guess since 2001. I had a radio show at Syracuse University. I was a student there. I went there in September of 2001 to study broadcast journalism. And when I got there, I realized that everyone wanted to be the same thing. Everyone wanted to be the next Marv Albert, Bob Costas, like I did. Mm-hmm. And there was this sport called mixed martial arts that I was a fan of. I was also a fan of boxing and pro wrestling. And I said, you know what? I feel like in 10 years, this sport is going to be mainstream. And I feel like there's going to be some executive in some office who's going to say, like, I know nothing about this sport, but who is the guy? Show me who the guy is. And I want to be that guy. And so from then, I just kind of had this dream of trying to cover the sport in a professional way and in an honest way and shine a light on how great it is and how much fun it is. And it's rare to kind of attach yourself to a sport that was in its infancy at that point. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of went down that path, and amazingly, it's been almost 21 years.
21 years. Wow. So that's a good question. Do you think you are still in the infancy of this sport, or have we matured? Are we toddlers now? What would you say?
Yeah, I think that's more accurate. You know, I've always compared like this era of MMA, as far as the sport has come. They're actually going to celebrate next November. So November of 2023, their 30th anniversary. We're still in the leather helmet days. If you get the analogy of MMA.
Do you get that?
Football, yes.
Okay. Just as Leatherhead,
George Clooney.
I just wanted to make
sure. Yeah, but there's a movie. That's how I knew.
That's so. So we're still in that period. Like, there's still a lot of things that the fighters don't have. I mean, boxing, this is a hot topic right now, like what the boxers are getting paid as opposed to the MMA fighters and their freedom, all that stuff. So I still feel like we're, you know, toddler would be a great analogy. We're not quite, you know, we're not in middle school just yet.
So can we ask a non-UFC question, or maybe it
I was hoping
to
this
UFC.
Whole interview.
You're only here for the cards.
I want to talk about cards. I have a long, rich history with cards. I mean, do you want to hear my stories about cards?
Well,
or
that's
do you want to
exactly
talk about
my
the
next
same
question.
Old, same old?
No. Cut out everything UFC. Yeah. Mike, we don't even want to hear
don't
any
cares
of that.
Who cares about this nonsense?
Ariel, please tell us. Nonsense is why you're here. Tell us about your card history.
Well, first of all, huge card collector when I was a kid. Big into
and
baseball.
How old are you, by the way?
Just so I'm 39.
Okay. So we're both 30, 35, 36. All right. Same. Okay, cool.
Grew up in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I used to go to a place called Sports Card Coliseum on DeCarry, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. I used to hang out there. You guys know? You guys know Montreal?
I'm just shocked. I'll be honest with you.
I've heard of Canada.
The look here is just, I had no clue you were actually in the card space. Most of our guests, is when I have to make this awkward tie. Like, you just do your thing with UFC and we'll tie it to cards.
No,
perfect. You're taking
I want to come on here to talk about cards and my...
Well, we have a number of Canadian listeners too, so this is amazing because we don't ever give them enough love, so...
Yeah, they get plenty.
I was a huge baseball fan, basketball fan, so like Upper Deck, Donruss, Hoop. I loved Upper Deck for baseball and basketball. What was the one? Skybox.
Fleer?
Fleer. Panini.
I just got a home improvement Skybox in the mail today, so that's pretty cool.
Panini was more like the stickers back in the day.
Right.
The sticker books, the hockey books and all that. But what I would do is, so I was super into them. I would get boxes for my birthday. That's like all I wanted. And my brother and I were big baseball fans. And so we signed up to a fan club at the Olympic Stadium in Montreal when the Expos were playing. And this fan club called the Desjardins Fan Club would allow you to go into the restaurant an hour before the doors would open and kind of hang out at the restaurant. Well, we didn't care about that. What we cared was getting autographs on our cards. So we would go into we would sign up, go to the restaurant, get a Coke, and then run down and always go to the visitor's side of, the field over their dugout and would bring our big binder and get as many autographs as possible. So back home in Montreal, where my parents still live, I have multiple binders of not just cards that I've collected over the years. The main ones were basketball and baseball, but also like a ton of autographs and memorabilia and stuff like that. I was huge into all of that stuff.
So it's actually a random connection. Two of my favorite players of all time are Expos. But Pedro, of course, being a Boston guy, Pedro was my favorite. But even before he came, we knew like this kid is killing it. He just doesn't get any love because he's in Montreal. But although he won a Cy Young there, I guess.
He did win a Cy Young. And then they traded him for freaking Carl Pavano and a bunch of balls.
Joke.
I did. Pedro was like my guy growing up. I just loved him. And then Vlad Sr. was just a tank.
The man. Oh, so, my God. I loved him. Loved him.
I've just never seen somebody not wear batting gloves and not have any concept of what a strike is, but be a great hitter.
Yeah. And now his like son is killing it, too.
Vlad Jr. Vlad Jr. is a good example of a guy who has totally taken the hobby by storm. Like, as hot of a young player as there is in the entire game. He's on fire.
So, now that the card world has kind of grown in the last couple years, I'd say probably more exploded in the last year. Have you gone back through your old cards? Have you seen if there's any value or anything like that?
So I haven't done like the whole like rate my card thing and all that, which I probably should, because I've got some really cool stuff. Like I have, you know, I'm sure I didn't keep all of them in the best of condition. They're in binders and those sheets and all that. But there's a few that I really like. My favorite athlete of all time is Patrick Ewing. My pride and joy was the Patrick Ewing rookie card that I had. I think it was a Fleer from 85. So
with Michael, 86 Fleer set with Jordan's rookie.
Yeah. So I probably should do that sort of thing, but I've tried to. So I have three kids, two older boys. One's 10, one's 8, and I've tried to get them into it a little bit. There's actually a store that just opened up near us, and I brought them in. I got them like one hockey pack, one baseball pack, one football pack, etc. And they're slowly but surely it's a bit of a slow grind, but I love the fact that it's back, and I think it's fascinating that it's back. And I get like when I walked into the store with my son, I got this weird sense of nostalgia that just kind of washed over me. It's just so much fun. The possibilities, you look at the things out there, you see the little sets and the boxes and what's new and what's not. And I love everything. I mean, this place, Sports Card Coliseum, which is no longer around in Montreal, I would just spend I was one of those kids who would just spend the entire afternoon there and just bother the guy where like, how much is this one? How much is this one? Do you have this? What's this? So love that stuff.
That is so cool.
So I am curious. So like UFC as a sport, you said as a toddler, the UFC card market is like in the belly still, like not even a newborn. It is so brand new right now. Oh yeah. It is crazy hot because there's just such a limited amount of stuff. But Panini's been like kind of at the front runner of that, like with NFT packs on the digital side, with the physical stuff. But we are finally seeing that stuff. Like, you know, guys are starting to identify young talent, just like they are in baseball. Like, who's the hot young prospect?
Yeah.
Vlad Jr., cool, let's buy him early. So it's been interesting to see the sport grow in the card market the last, honestly, probably like the last 9 months.
So with that, that's where we come to you, and we need you to tell our listeners, who are the hot guys and who are the guys who you think are going to be hot? Because those are the guys they want to invest in.
I've actually done some stuff for Panini. So like off to my right, I have a bunch of boxes of the ones from last year and whatnot.
Oh, whoa.
And I haven't even gone to, what do you call it? Like get them rated?
Getting them graded. Yep. Graded, yeah, so we've got some here. I don't know if you can see it, but.
Yeah. So I should do a better job of that. Like they're literally just, I open them all, but they're just sitting in the box.
And this is 2020 product?
Oh no, wait, 1 second. Let me get these. One second.
Yeah, we got to see this. Cause I was going to say, cause last year was the first year of prison.
That's what I thought.
This dude's sitting gold. It's worth like $75,000 with his fake books.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, that's Prism.
Dude.
So that box, look up 2020 Prism real quick.
Just a box of it?
All right, so I got this one. I got a bunch of these. The Prisms.
Yeah. So that's again, huge box. That's 2020.
Do you know how much that box costs?
I'm gonna guess they're $1,500 right now.
That box is the debut edition the case costs $5,500. So
what?
It's not.
Oh, the
actually,
case.
Yeah. The case costs $5,500. I'm actually trying to find just an individual box.
I have this one too. Select 2021.
I mean, those are like two of the most, because again, they don't have a million products for UFC like they do for baseball, but like there's some monster cards. Like in that 2021, especially, I had never heard of this guy before. And Panini gave us some free packs as a promotion at an event we were at in Vegas. I pulled this dude. And of course, it's like anything else. The fewer there are, the more valuable. So I got this card. There's only 20 of them made. And I was like, oh, like we opened him live on the show and we were just like, I'm reading Greek here. I have no clue. Right. I was like, yeah, I got this guy, Kamazat, and I butchered the name.
Oh, yeah. Shamayev. Hamzat Shamayev, yeah.
So I sent it into grade because I thought, why not? Well, this dude apparently is like the hottest up and comer, or one of.
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
Oh, hang on. Let me make a correction.
Yeah.
I was looking at the retail pricing, that, not that the hobby. The hobby box that you have right there, $2,400.
Yeah, that's a lot.
The one
of
I have is 2,400.
Yeah, and so collect is probably
what am I doing,
dude?
That's what I'm saying. There's probably some monster cards in there that are worth a lot of money.
I mean, what am I going to do with these cards?
Ship them to us. We'll sell them for you. Okay. There you go. Yeah, free you of charge. Could. You come on here. We'll take care of it.
But you probably do that Hamza.
So honestly, so that we were joking here, like, oh, I'll get $100.
The select box is $1,100, by the way.
God, crazy.
Golly.
The comms that I'm hoping to get like $5,000 for.
Wow.
Can you believe that? $5,000.
I never, and then Jesse pulled a rookie.
And he's
too.
Not even sharing it. What a joke.
So I have never heard of this guy because, again, I don't follow the sport a lot.
Holland?
Kevin Holland. Mm-hmm. It's his rookie. What are your thoughts on this guy? What is Jesse sitting on here?
Should I hold it, or is he going to get hotter, or is this like the peak, you think?
So or, 2 years
and, can you say this without affecting your relationship? Because I know you have to go out and get interviews with these guys.
So 2 years ago in 2020, the back end, you know, the first half of 2020 was obviously weird. But then when fights started again in May, between May of 2020 and December, he fought five times. So that's five times in 7 months. Now, the record for most wins in a calendar year in the UFC is five. A couple guys went 5-0. He essentially did it in 7 months. Went 5-0 and beat some really good guys. So 2020, he was actually my breakout fighter of the year. 2021, he took a bit of a step up in competition and lost a few big ones and didn't look particularly good. Kind of got exposed. His wrestling was just not up to the top of the middleweight divisions, you know, caliber. And now, so that he was fighting at 185 pounds. Earlier this year, he decided to drop down to 170 pounds. And in his 170-pound debut, he was successful. He won. He looked great. And now he has another fight coming up June 18th. So I would not... He is good. He is very good. Does he become a champion? Remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. But I would hold on to that. Like, he is not a bust by any stretch.
Oh, good. Because here's the other thing we've seen, too. It's just like any other, you know... Because honestly, at this point, cards are a market. Like Chimaev, I actually just read this up. I was reading up because I saw like a crazy spike in his pricing. He just beat, is the guy's name Burns? Again, I'm ignorant.
Yeah, Gilbert Burns.
Gilbert Burns. The amount of movement that night during the event, like eBay sales, just the amount of the volume moving, the pricing. And then the next day after his victory, an insane spike in price.
Really? That's so fascinating.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of Giannis winning, you know, the championship last year. The day after the finals, his pricing just gets just through the roof spikes. And it's such a small market still because so many guys just don't even, are not, it's like you, they have boxes sitting around. It's kind of like, it's new. What do I do with these things? It's kind of like a new thing. So,
and it's not a traditional sport for that, right? Like we all kind of understand mm-hmm. baseball and basketball and football, but MMA has, you know, way back in the day, maybe, and I have one of these actually lying around, like Topps got involved mm-hmm. with UFC cards and they never really caught on. By the way, are there any, my kids actually have a lot of WWE cards. Is there any value to those or no?
That's so funny.
It's funny you mentioned this.
Go to the Sports Cards Nonsense YouTube and watch our break of a box of WWE cards.
So again, check it out. Very, very similar to UFC. It is kind of like they had made it some, there were some brands in the past, but then Panini got involved this year and started making Prism. So that same box you have, the first box you showed, they released their first, this is the inaugural year of Prism WWE, and immediately the boxes went for over $1,000.
Wow.
And the amount of value there. So like the up and comer there was Bron Breakker or whatever. He's like the big rookie, Bron Breakker. Yeah. But then like the Hulk Hogan, the throwback legend.
Andre the Giant,
crazy money. We pulled a Randy Orton card that ended up selling for about $500. Insane value because it wasn't the first time cards were made, but it was the first time that a brand like Panini got involved and put in like the awesome looking cards, the cool effects, the parallels. So those WWE cards are, again,
wow.
That's
interesting.
Super up and coming emerging market with those.
And the fact that we also saw in the last few years, we saw F1 Prism do fantastic. Because Prism is kind of like the
F1's Topps only.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not F1 Topps. But I'm sorry. When you saw F1 come out with this very first year, then when you saw UFC come out for the first thing, everyone assumed because those all did great, WWE was also going to do great. And it did. And it's still, I mean, it has dropped a little bit. It's now down to $900 a box, but absolutely.
Yep.
So what are the chances for you to give us maybe a sneak peek of guys that our listeners want to be keeping an eye out for?
Oh yeah. Like people who are current stars or up and comers.
Up and comers, for example, anybody that jumps off the page on you in that regard.
Yeah.
Take your notes right now.
I'll kind of go through the divisions if I can. There's a guy at 135 pounds who just fought, who I think will fight for a belt at some point in the future. His name is Marlon Vera from Ecuador. Cheeto Vera, that's his nickname. Really fun guy. Had a huge win this past weekend. Is on a winning streak as of late. I think he's really, really good. There's another guy at 135 pounds named Mirab Dawalishvili. He's from Georgia, the Republic of Georgia.
Okay. Because it doesn't sound like Atlanta-based. Yeah. Okay.
Dawalishvili.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, because I was saying Dawalishvili, there's no W in there, but that's how you pronounce his name.
He is really, really good.
There's a guy at 125 pounds named Kaikar France, who
Does
I really
they not
like.
Eat 125 pounds?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
that's,
man.
That's a small guy.
It's a little fella.
Kaikar, you said?
Kai, K-A-I, Kara, K-A-R-A, France. He is from New Zealand. He's a teammate of Israel Adesanya, who you might have heard of.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that's at 125. I'll give you one in every weight class. They're not that awesome. Many.
How many weight classes are there?
I think there's 8 men's and then 3 or 4 female.
It is interesting, too, that when UFC product came out, they were putting... Didn't they have, like, the female division in there, too?
Oh, Amanda Nunes was one of the highest-selling product... one of the highest-selling athletes in the entire product.
I just think that's cool because the most sports, you know, it's divided up like women's league, men's league. But in these, I think when they put out those cards, they put out...
Yeah, no, like I mean, you can have cards... You can have, like, not cards, like actual events with 11 fights and there's, like, you know... 8 men's fights, 4 women's fights. The women fight is the main event. It's all mixed.
Yeah.
Just like it is in boxing. At 145 pounds, I would say look out for a guy named Bryce Mitchell from Arkansas. Really good on the ground, up and comer, currently ranked 9th in the UFC's lightweight division. At 155 pounds, I would say look out for a guy named Rafael Fiziev. He's from Kazakhstan, and he is really, really good as well. He has a big fight coming up this summer. You'll notice a bit of a trend here with the foreigners. At 170, Khamzat is the guy you just spoke of, but he might be there already. If you want someone under the radar, there's a guy named Shavkat Rakhmonov, also of Kazakhstan. These dudes from Eastern Europe are just incredibly tough. The Russians, the Kazakhs, the Georgians, all these guys are incredibly tough. So that's at 170 pounds.
Let me ask you one quick question there before you go to the next one. So like a guy like Shamayev, am I saying the last name right? But I hate the butchering. Okay. So for example, he is super hot right now. Very expensive. I guess just in terms of like what is on the horizon for him, do you see him as a star that's going to continue to rise? Or is it like, hey, he's kind of plateaued here to a degree. Oh, no. So he's on the rise still.
Yeah. Like this has just begun. Okay. He just beat Gilbert Burns, who is ranked number 2. And his next fight is going to be a massive fight. And if he wins that fight, he is fighting for the belt. And there's a very good chance if and when he fights for the belt that he wins the belt. So his next fight could very well be against a guy named Nathan Diaz that you may have heard of, the Diaz brothers.
I've got his card. Nate Diaz right here.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might have a massive fight there. He might fight a guy named Colby Covington, who you might be familiar with.
Loudmouth. I know that. Yep. I know that name.
Yeah. So, like, he is in line for a gigantic fight next. And regardless of who the opponent is, he wins that fight, he's fighting for the belt. So.
Gotcha. So, even though he's high, you're buying in high, there's a chance this guy's stock just continues.
He hasn't been in the UFC for 2 years, you know, so he's just scratching the surface.
What about the McGregor guy? I need a preface.
Connor?
UFC is typically not my sport.
You can't be that clueless to call him the McGregor.
Do you not know Connor?
I just said his name, did I not?
Yeah, but you called him the McGregor guy. Like, you knew his first name, let's be honest.
I was going to say Colin, but yeah, I was close.
Connor
McGregor.
Why the hell do you want me on this show if you didn't think his name is Colin McGregor?
I wanted to hear about your sports card collection, bro. Yeah, right. Come on, Ariel. You
know nothing about my sports card collection. Who forced you to have me on your show?
Nobody forced.
I will tell you this, Ariel. This is why we have guys like you on, because we get questions every week. We have a huge social following because the card market's crazy, just blown up right now. And we get UFC stuff all the time.
Just
and
because we don't know it doesn't mean that the audience doesn't want to hear about it.
Us two dummies aren't going to sit here and talk about it. So I was like, we got to get a guy who is an authority in this sport to actually offer some guys. Otherwise, we're buying Colin Montgomery fights and Gregor McConnors.
Yeah.
It's bad. It gets ugly, man. It's not easy having a co-host like this. Let me just...
A co-host like this? You don't know much more.
I'm kidding. I don't know anything about
it. All right. So that being the case...
Hang on. Let him keep going.
Yeah, I'm
170.
Sorry. Yeah.
You want to keep going?
I'm sorry.
By the way, is it the same... crew here that does the Substack?
I think there's a podcast. Is that what it is? The podcast Substack?
Another Ringers podcast?
No, there's a sports card nonsense newsletter.
Yes, that's us.
Oh, Substack, the website.
Newsletter.
Wait a second. You guys don't even know like what Substack is and you're on Substack?
We have a lot of people that work with us and for us, and I don't have any idea what that is. I barely know.
Who owns our sports card nonsense?
I am the owner of the company.
No, and you don't even know about how many people work for your company.
No, we are split owners. You own 2% more than me. Take it easy.
No, jeez. And Simmons heard our stuff random. Well, Chris Vernon, the Grizzlies guy, who's local to Memphis, he heard us on TikTok because we were just doing it independently, trying to spread the thing. 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And then Simmons called, and that's how we got on the Ringer. And since then, we're not getting picked up again. I can tell you that right now. Since then, all the other stuff.
Why not?
Oh, I'm just kidding. Bill's actually come on like five times.
That's his humor.
Bill's a big card fan, so it works. But everything kind of spread after that. Like all the socials grew, everything grew. And there was like a real calling, which I didn't know this was still a thing for newsletters.
We just talked about this morning. You were saying no one reads them, but obviously Ariel reads it.
So we had some guys reach out. Some of them are actually accomplished writers. Both the Johns are actually very accomplished writers. And they were like, hey, we just love the space. We would love to kind of spearhead this newsletter. And they've run with it. They do a great job. I literally just
got an email while we were talking from Tamara Lane.
That's our marketing agent. She works for the... So we just launched a selling app. It's trending in the app store. It hit yesterday. It actually took off really well. Tamara Lane is our CMO. She's our chief marketing officer.
Wow, you guys are crushing it. Like for here,
it's all a front. We're going to be on the street.
From afar, you would think it's just like, you know, two jabrons just sitting there opening up cards. Meanwhile, you're running like a multi-million dollar business here.
So when are you getting on board, Ariel, is the real question. We got a big event this Saturday night.
So one of our first live event on the app is a watch-along party for the UFC. Panini donated a bunch of product, physical and digital. So we've got guys who are in that space, a couple of the influencers, to rip packs and just have a host this party. So that's why it was perfect timing with you coming on, because we figured we kind of engage the audience on the sport.
I love it. That's tremendous.
What a nice synergy we've got going here.
This is
even
great.
Even our back office is reaching out.
Even though
out
you
to
kind
Ariel.
Of bullied me into showing up, it's great.
That was an.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. That was deserved. Yeah. He was sick the first time. No, I don't know how valid that was.
I was sick. And then
today
saying,
he didn't get a reminder.
And then, by the way, I'm in the business of booking guests. I do a show where I book all the guests. I am the booker, and I would never say to someone, let's shoot for this day, and then not check back in for the entire time.
That's fair. Then an hour before, be like,
hey, you want to jump on at this time? I'm like, wait, what? Like, what happened to let's shoot? To me, let's shoot is not lock in this. Just, you know, have this situation. Now, because I felt so bad because I'm a Jewish person who has a ton of Jewish guilt, I rearranged things to just, you know, be a man of my word here. But can we also talk about the time where no one actually told me I was showing up and you guys tweeted that I was coming on later today?
That was awesome. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you right now. That was all me. We had you booked. Because remember, we had you booked. I did not see the note that you were sick. So I just responded like, hey, let's pump this thing up. We got Ariel coming on.
Listen, I don't want to be a real mensch here, but I know that Michael has a lot of talent. Messaging on social media sometimes gets a little confusing.
I stay out of it now.
You should ask Tamara Lane to do that for you.
Tamara is a
Tamara? Tamara? Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
We don't really know her.
Nobody knows, really. No, Tamara is a sweetheart. She's going to help us out a lot to make things better in the future. So these things don't happen.
She actually does.
So thank you for moving your calendar
around.
She sets
all the calendar invites. She does a killer job. Now I have to
get a calendar invite.
Bro, that's true.
Yeah, this was before, man.
I got a DM. Hey, here's the Zoom link. Are you coming?
Hey, you coming, bro?
Ariel, can I ask you one question? Because this has been so fantastic. I know you've got precious little time. You have an interview, and again, I'm even less knowledgeable. I can't even give you a last name. There's a big UFC fighter. I think he's a heavyweight who you did an interview with, and things got a little intimidating. Like he started, I don't want to say pushing around, but almost bullying you. Do you know what I'm talking about when I'm rambling?
Well, he
here?
Wasn't a heavyweight. He was a light heavyweight, a guy named Quentin Rampage Jackson. Are you talking about that?
He's a Tennessee guy.
That's him. Yeah.
Memphis guy. Yep. Are you guys in Memphis?
What was the story there? Nashville.
Okay.
Our studio is maybe 20 minutes north. Yeah.
SummerSlam coming to Nashville this year. Did you guys know that?
It's going to the Bridgestone. I did see that.
Oh,
no. I think it's actually going to the Bridgestone is where the Predators play, right?
Yeah.
I think it's in a football stadium.
Well, no. Bridgestone is not where the Predators play. They play.
Yes, it is.
What's the one? Oh, Nissan Stadium.
Nissan, where the Titans play.
Are you guys actually from Nashville? I mean, even I know where the Predators play, and you don't?
He was born and raised there. I have no, there's no excuse.
Why? I grew up in theater, so.
I hear Smashville.
I see the yellow flag.
Oh, I love to go to a Predators game. I was on the Jumbotron 3 times last time I went. It was a lot of fun.
But honestly, though, Eric, just a little show history. Jesse, that is the shtick on the show. I have been into sports my whole life and a big card fan and card collector. Jesse is not a sports fan at all. He's come around.
But I want to know more, and I'm trying to bring in the wider audience.
Wait, are you doing on a sports card show?
I'm asking the questions that everybody else wants to know.
Exactly.
All the new talent out there that wants to learn about how to make money.
I like it.
Yeah. Ariel is quickly fading in this interview. He's like, I don't know what's happening. God. We're good.
They're what was the initial question? I forget.
Rampage.
Now. Rampage.
Was that real? Did that almost actually happen?
Yeah, it was real. This was back in 2009, 2010. And he, you know, It was real, but it was also kind of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We have a good relationship. There was a period where he actually really despised me and it got a little tense between us. Wow. But this was very early on in my career and I'm thankful for those moments. I guess people liked the way I handled myself in those moments.
I did. I thought that's when I saw that. I was like, I definitely want him to come on just because he seems like a really cool guy.
That's when you showed him a DM.
And you were like,
shot him a DM.
I said, if he's gotten any cooler since then, he's going to be great.
Yeah.
All right. Can we hit you with a couple rapid fire questions?
Sure.
Would that be okay? We had a bunch of fans. I don't know if you know this. People like you.
That's weird, but it's true.
I mean, that's fine. I'm on the fence. However, a lot of people said, hey, Ariel, we said, hey, Ariel's coming on today. Drop your question. You got to go rapid with this.
Okay.
The man doesn't have much. Can we have you for like another 6 minutes?
Sure. I mean, you originally said, you know, no,
that's true.
The man holds it.
Don't you dare say anything.
This is the Jewish guilt he's talking about.
Yeah,
he is 100%. He is now projecting it on me.
By the way, it's actually way worse than this. I'm just being nice because we just, you know, met each other.
No, dude, we should let him go.
We
do you need to go, Ariel? It's fine.
Because
this is a good cutting off point.
By the way, I'm part of the Ringer family too.
Why do you think we reached out to you? The only reason this happened is I texted Bill. I said, hey, can we get Ariel? He says, yep, I'll text somebody. That's it.
And
then we just texted
you know what? I don't believe this story for 1 second. Anyway, precious time is ticking away.
All right,
away.
Precious little time. All right, fine.
Bro.
Actually, somebody already knew you were an Expo fan. Christopher Duff asks, Ariel's a former Expos fan. Former, I don't know about that. So maybe you can go deep on Marquise Grissom and Larry Walker.
Yeah, what do you want?
I don't know. Go team.
Read the UFC questions.
Marquise Grissom and Larry Walker were part of the greatest team ever. 1994, they were in first place, six games up on the Braves. August 12th, 1994, the strike hits. They were going to go to the World Series. They were going to go to the playoffs for the first time in my life, and I never got to see them go to the playoffs. Strike hits, World Series canceled for the first time up until that point and has never happened since. And then that offseason, they had to sell off some players. Larry Walker was a free agent. He went to Colorado. Marquise Grissom went to the Braves and ended up catching the final out in the 95 World Series. So yes, these are the guys that I grew up with.
Awesome. Okay. All UFC from
this
point
out. Did that impress you? Were you impressed by that?
I actually was very impressed, but I didn't want to make a scene because I know time is limited.
Listen.
Brad Allen asks, does Dana White still hate your guts?
Wow. No. We actually just went for lunch 2 days ago. He had the soup, the Manhattan clam chowder. I'm more of a New England clam chowder, so He had the red. I had the white.
That's why he worked. The white. Yep.
That's why he works for the Ringer, New England. Okay.
All right. So John Boren.
I actually hate all New England teams with a passion.
Oh, that's so good.
Most people do hate winners. I understand.
Actually,
how'd that playoff game go? Bills Patriots. See, that was tremendous.
See, I'll be honest with you. I am spineless. I'm a Bucks fan. I grew up with Brady. Soon as Brady went to Tampa.
Oh my God. You're actually the definition of the fan that I hate the most right now.
Yes. Attack. This bullshit.
I'm so happy for Tommy. I'm so happy that he did it. Meanwhile, he went around, stabbed you guys in the back, and then goes to the other team. Doesn't even say goodbye to you guys properly. Egomaniac who retires, unretires, doesn't say thank you, this and that. The freaking worst. And then to see all the Patriots fans just pretty much disown the team, jump on the bandwagon when he wins. He doesn't like you guys. He doesn't live in Massachusetts.
He doesn't even like you, bro.
His wife doesn't like New England, liked New England. And you guys claiming the Bucks as your own is one of the most pathetic things that I've ever seen.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven rings for Tommy. I don't disagree with a thing you've said.
It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. I would be ashamed.
No shame in it.
Man, Patriots, that was so fun.
I still enjoy, still follow.
So if he would have gone to the Dolphins, you'd be a Dolphins fan?
Yep.
He's still planning on it.
Here's the difference, though. Tom Brady literally has set up my entire life as I know it now. I invested all of my money in Tom Brady cards years ago because he was my favorite guy ever. And the football card market over the last, let's call it 8 to 10 years, has gone up 50x. I was just like, I'm so, and I loved him. Anyways, he is really all, I mean, I knew Drew Bledsoe growing up, but the team was never that good aside from the one outlier Super Bowl. I moved to Nashville 15 years ago, so it was tough to watch the Pats games. Anyways, I tried to stick up around with the Titans because they were local. And as soon as Tommy left, I was like, man, this is not the team I grew up with anymore at all. There was almost nobody left. So yes, Bucks for me, number one, Patriots, number two. If he left the team this year, I would have gone wherever he went. Totally spineless.
Wow.
I'm his least type of fan. Least favorite fan, least favorite host. Two for two, buddy. Read the next question.
I hope that you come back one day.
I don't after that comment. I'll be honest with you. I don't care for him.
No, I'm on Team Rampage. I love Ariel. Andrew Nickel, is Patty the Batty Pimblett the next McGregor type? Tons of swagger and the fight is back. And has the fight to back it up. Or is that not a fair comparison at the moment?
I don't think he's as good as Connor was at this point in his career. Could he get there? Maybe. But right now, I think Connor was a little more advanced and fought tougher competition.
So Patty's an interesting example. He is one where his stock is so high because of the hype, the charisma, all that. A lot of guys are actually fearful. Like, maybe it's time to sell out of this kid because maybe his, you know, in-cage performance can't live up to that.
Yeah, hype. I don't think the ceiling is as high as Connor's.
Okay.
Min Vong says, with the rumor that Sean O'Malley will be facing his first legit competitor yet with Pedro Munoz, do you think he has a shot at beating him and getting into the top 10 rankings?
1,000%. And I don't agree with the assessment that he hasn't fought legit talent. In fact, the guy Marlon Vera that I told you about has a win over Sean O'Malley. People forget that. But I actually think he's going to win. And I think this talk that he is not good enough or not worthy of top 10 will go away come July 2nd when that fight happens.
Another fan favorite, by the way.
All right,
yes,
one last question.
People love Sugar Sean.
One last question. Andrew Nickel, which UFC fighter right now has the largest social media reach? With cards being tied to hype for athletes, which UFC fighter has the hype machine from social media behind him or her?
Well, I think it would have to be Connor.
That's what I saw.
Connor's up there. Khabib is up there. Khabib Nurmagomedov, although he retired, but I still feel like he kind of counts. They still have cards with him. Khamzat is getting up there. People love him, as we talked about earlier. Israel Adesanya has a big following.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Max Holloway, Francis Ngannou, and you can't forget about John Jones. He hasn't fought in 2 years, but a lot of people still consider him the GOAT. So, and I know he has a few million on Instagram and Twitter, but no one has anything near Connor. I mean, I don't know what Connor has right now, but it's got to be in like the 15, 20 million, right?
Well, even if you've never even heard of the sport, people know who Connor McGregor is.
You almost knew who he was.
Yeah, I almost did. Fun fact, if you ever run into Jorge Masvidal in the future and you're trying to get an interview, just talk about cards. He's a big card guy.
He owns a couple card shops.
Yeah. Doesn't he have like some sort of card, like YouTube channel or something? Breakers?
Yeah, he does. Yep, he does some breaking. He's got a card shop. He was super into it.
Why do people call it breaking, by the way?
It's just a term we use. So just breaking open packs. It's kind of where it came from. Breaking open boxes.
I used to just say, like, I'd open a pack. Like, why can't it just be...
Openers.
I don't make the rules. Openers. I just try to live by.
I know that if anyone's doing it, they're doing it on Card Shop Live app, though. That's a fact. Plug.
So
plug.
Saturday, by the way, big event Saturday. What's anything that like jumps off the page? Like, hey, this could upset. This could be an upset, or this the result of this fight will really propel somebody.
There's three really big fights on the card. The main event is a great one: Charles Oliveira against Justin Gaethje, 155 pounds. Gaethje has been around for a while, never won the belt. So this would be huge for him and his stock in your world if he's able to win the belt. Rose Namajunas is in the co-main event. She's one of the most popular fighters in the sport. She's fighting someone who actually beat her in 2014 named Carla Esparza. So I think if she can, you know, right that wrong, it would be a really big deal. And Tony Ferguson and Michael Chandler are fighting. Chandler, actually a Nashville guy, two very popular fighters. One guy kind of going up, Chandler, one guy kind of going down. They're meeting in the middle. That's Ferguson. Bit of a crossroads fight, if you will, for Ferguson. If he can win, he will skyrocket. He was very popular for many years. He's on a losing streak now. So I'd say those are the top three fights to look at.
Nice. Hey, thank you so much for the time, Ariel. I know we planned poorly. We insulted you multiple times during
executed also poorly
under average.
It was a real trifecta of
disappointment.
Of disrespect. I mean, I have to stare at a Tom Brady picture. All this. I like John Morant. Respect to John Morant. Respect to the Grizzlies, formerly the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Three big country. I remember. Sure.
Yeah. Sharif Abdur-Rahim, Mike Bibby. Thank you for having me. I'm glad we were able to do this, guys. I appreciate it. And I subscribe to the Substack. So the Substack that you didn't even know existed.
This is interesting.
I didn't know the name Substack. I forgot. All right. Ariel, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Please come back.
Maybe. See
goodbye.
See you guys.
Jedi are being murdered.
On June 4th, Star Wars returns only on Disney Plus.
I didn't do it. Believe me.
She was my student. Let me be the one to bring her in.
Now she is a student of the dark side. An acolyte.
Star Wars The Acolyte. 2-episode premiere June 4th, only on Disney Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
And it's that easy to do an interview, guys.
I didn't know he was in the cards. That threw me off in a pleasant way. So
I still maintain that UFC is too violent and I don't subscribe to it, but he was an absolute pleasure to talk to.
Yeah, I'm not here because I enjoy that. It's just not for me. There's certain sports I do enjoy, certain I don't. That's one I particularly don't, but the card market is growing.
Did you know there's an actual sport of pillow fighting now?
No, but the card market for UFC is certainly growing, and we do get questions each and every week. And we've had that, which I think is a fair criticism. Hey, you guys stick to basketball, baseball, whatever, too much. Which F1 is the next one. We're going to have an expert on to talk F1 cards in the next couple of weeks. Jeremy Lee is joining us on Monday to talk all things hockey. So hockey, UFC, we are trying to expand. It's never going to be the focus, but I do think there are times we need to talk about things, even sports we don't particularly follow. We'll have Jason Flynn back to talk soccer. So,
and Jason Flynn talked to F1 while you were out that day, which people got a little taste of. So
yeah, so I'm glad to see that we're kind of expanding a little bit. Couple quick just playoff notes, because we are going to talk a little bit of NBA because we're in the middle of the playoffs. There's been some interesting movement. The Celtics absolutely dominated the Bucks a couple days ago. It's funny, though, the amount of social chatter and even on ESPN and people whining about how this team is not in the same league as the Bucks. Then they come out and dominate the Bucks. Tatum prices are lower now than they've been since the middle of that Nets
series. The better he does, the worse his price.
Well, he spiked high after the Nets. It was a big thing.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, they don't deserve to be on the court with the Bucks. I'm back to my hold. I was hoping they would spike again after that win. And I was like, you know what? Maybe now's the time to sell. Like, I've got a bunch of Tatum. I've got the Robert Williams I talked about. I'm holding. I want to see what happens in this series. I really am very curious now as to what happens the next couple of games.
I'm just curious what's going on with Booker pricing as well, because Devin Booker did the same thing. Like, they won, yep, and his pricing went down.
Yeah, Devin Booker's another guy. If you look at his index on Card Ladder, which, mm-hmm, by the way, you can get the Card Ladder membership through our website. If you look at Booker pricing on the index, talk about a guy who fell when the whole market came down 8-10 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And has just never regained any steam. And despite being as good as he is, I'm not sure what people expect out of him in the hobby to move the needle. It's almost like, you know, an unbelievable regular season, a first round victory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're up 2-0 in the Mavs. I have to imagine they're going to beat Luka and the Mavs. So, like, at what point does his stuff start to move?
His pricing over the last month, the change is essentially flat. Tatum, at least, is up 9% over the last month.
Right.
But yeah, it's just weird. I don't understand what was going on there.
We got to talk about Ja. I mean, they almost won game one with his layup. Game two, he puts up 47. I mean, he was unbelievable.
He's pretty good.
Oh, he's ridiculous. Let's book him.
So he was, let's book him.
Is he coming on?
He was $203 is what his PSA 10 base 2019 Prism is selling for as of a couple days ago before this last win. As of the win, it's now up to $238, just about $240. So a nice little jump for him, especially because his stuff really has not crossed that $240 mark in the last month or so. So yeah, he's at a high for the month. What do you think? Do you think it's just one of those, if you think he's going to keep going and invest or no?
That's where we're at with this season of stuff. Like, and I don't see a ton of downside with Ja, though. Say they get beaten 6 by Golden State. I don't think there's some massive drop there. I actually think he's a relatively safe buy, more upside than down. Even Tatum, because I think after this season, again, say they lose in 6 to the Bucks, but he plays well, I think the kind of sentiment around Tatum is, yeah, this dude could potentially be a top 5 guy in the league going forward, you know, maybe the year after, next year or the year after. And Booker's a guy, though. It just scares me with Booker because he's played so well and he's such a young dude. Like, I just don't understand. All those guys are. I'm just shocked that the hobby hasn't responded better to him than they have. But, you know, it is what it is. If he wins this series, I think that'll certainly help. And I think the West is wide open anyways at this point. So
as far as the series goes, as it stands right now, there are Miami and Philly. Who do you think are winning there?
So Miami's up 2-0. That series is done. I mean, Embiid,
you don't have any chance for Philly.
Embiid may be coming back to game 3. I haven't heard definitively yet. Mm-hmm. If that happens, great. One thing is apparent. James Harden is no longer a top-tier talent in the league.
Something's falling off, yeah.
He looks brutal. And Embiid has done this every year. I hate to say it because he is as talented as anybody in the game when he's on, but he is never reliable to be on the court in the postseason. It's sad.
So I think
that's a win for Miami. You know, I think Miami and Phoenix, I just don't see either one of those two blowing a 2-game lead. The other two are wide open. Golden State, Memphis is going to be an awesome series to watch, and I hope the Bucks Celtics is this competitive going forward, like back and forth.
Of all of these games, I think the Golden State Memphis games are going to be the most fun to watch. Both of them were so close. Because on the Boston, I know you're going to love the Celtics game, but they're both
blowouts. The first game was a blowout too. The Golden State Memphis series has been close both games.
Yeah.
And if you did, Memphis is the
Steph is doing so well, and Jaws playing like the. It is just fun to watch, even if you're not a sports fan.
Yeah, and Memphis is the hobby darling right now. Like, if that team wins this series, Morant stuff is going to go crazy. Desmond Bane, who's been relatively quiet, if he's on a team going to the Western Conference Finals, that stuff's going to move. You know, Triple J is a guy I did not think we'd be talking about having any hobby relevance. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for that sleeper guy, we saw it the other day. He can go off for 35 occasionally. I would love to see Memphis win, not only because I like them, but I just think it'd be great for the hobby. So there you go. There's your NBA update moment, whatever.
I think we have a few non-UFC related questions if you want to hit mailbag.
Yeah, let's do it. Let me be done. I don't want to be in this room anymore.
We were having such a positive moment, fine. Mike. Come on, turn
such
it back around.
Such a great
day. Mailbag. Let's go to Ethan Schenke. Ethan wants to know, best QBs to add for next season. Mike, you were spot on with Tatum. So who would be your Tatum pick for the NFL QBs? Thanks. Love the show.
Ooh, so Tatum pick. So we're talking about a guy who's already good, who's going to make that really, really make that next step. That's a good question. I think there's a couple interesting, weird enough, and I know I've been talking about him for a while. You just added Tyreek Hill for Tua. I think that's a huge addition. And even bigger than that is Davante Adams with Derek Carr. I mean, that's a top five receiver in football going to a team that was already in the playoffs last year. I think that's very, very interesting. And neither one of their markets are crazy high right now. The other guy is Jalen Hurts that we talked about. I mean, you already have a good slash crazy, you know, deep threat receiver in Devontae Smith. Now you add A.J. Brown, who's a Pro Bowl guy, probably top, again, top five, top eight receiver in football. I think the future looks bright for those three guys. Jalen, especially, by the way.
Keith Chandler from the Facebook. At what price range of a raw card would you send to PSA over SGC for 90s modern stuff?
Start getting to like the 250 range, $200 to $300 range raw. I start thinking PSA, depending on the disparity in price. Anything under that, I'm going SGC just because of the quick turnaround. Like even the stuff we got in today, I'm glad we have it back because I can sell this base, the basketball stuff that I wanted to sell. I get it back so fast and it's for half the price that even though it's not selling as high as PSA, I don't care because it's here. I can make it liquid. I can go faster with it. So 200, 250 is that range. I started looking at PSA.
Let's see. Hayes Chandler Hudson wants to know.
I don't know. Nope. Three names. They're out. Bunch of assassins. What do you want me to do?
That's so funny that we both thought the same
Sorry.
Thing. Guys that's what they're known for. All right. This is from another guy just named Hayes Hudson.
Double H.
Why don't card companies put the name of the parallel on the back of the card? Thank you, Hayes. I agree. We just filmed a thing at the Nash Cards today. Yep. And I'm like, what is this? What variation is this? I don't know the
name. You had a great question. Okay. Let me just, and you had well intentions. Jesse holds up a card to me and Chris, the owner of Nash Cards. He goes, what color would you say this is?
Everything's like a...
I was like, just in general, that's a red... Same as when a light is the color you stop at. Looks red to me. It's a valid point.
Some things are called different things. I didn't know.
You know, I actually don't hate that idea. I've never thought of that. But if you just put that like at the very bottom in small print...
That's all I want. Do you know how many more people would get into the hobby? Because then they would actually feel like, oh, I don't feel like an idiot because I'm looking at this card and I have no idea what I'm looking at.
That's actually not the worst idea.
Panini, Jason, listen to this.
Especially when you talk about things like, you know, mosaic. Well, this fast break mosaic, there's this different color. When we did our mosaic rip in here, even I didn't know. I was like, is this yellow and black?
Yes.
Oh, no, it's gold and black. Oh, no, it's a gold-black fusion. That's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
This is assassin that the triple name? Just made he just killed, a game change he just
killed
in the
that
hobby.
He just killed that idea. See what I did there? A couple
that was
more.
Good.
Let's get out
that
of here.
That was really solid. We got to say something to Panini. Cole Benz, if they'll take our calls. What do you think the trade package looked like when George suggested to Mr. Steinbrenner that the Yankees could get Griffey and Bonds and they wouldn't have to give up very much?
You know, they really wouldn't have to give up all that much. That is a great episode. Yep.
You know what? It's funnier now that I can appreciate what that actually meant because they're such good players. So.
Sports
boy. Don Getters, the Ja Morant / Young Dolph card going insane again. Now the time without question to sell high?
Yes. Do you know who Young Dolph is?
Is he a hip-hop, rapper? I think.
There's literally just a card where he is featured right behind Ja because he's sitting. And for whatever reason, the cards have spiked. Yeah,
I just don't
think that's a sustainable market. I would absolutely sell now if they're high. I don't know where they're at, but if you're telling me they're high, get up. I mean, yes. Sell.
Go, run. James Robles, do you know anything about the younger brothers of the superstars that are coming up? Any good investments? Acuna brothers,
Tatis.
Louis Angel and Brian, or Tatis' little brother, Elijah?
Yeah, I mean, they're all, especially the Acuna guys. I believe one is his brother. I thought Luis Angel was his cousin, but maybe they are both his little brothers. Both talented prospects and both with quite a bit of hype. By the way, James Robles is the teacher from that school in Texas I went live with yesterday and ripped for those kids.
Oh, James, dude.
It was actually pretty awesome. This one kid yesterday was fifth graders, Woodridge Elementary. James went live. We did an Instagram live and I was like, hey, I got some packs and boxes I want to give away. This one kid named Jimmy, I rip his pack for him out of Prism draft picks. He hits a stained glass Scotty Barnes that's worth $250 to $300 and then a Josh Giddey auto out of one pack. I was like, Jimmy, you just won yourself $500. So if you're looking for somebody to pick on at that school and like take something from, wait till Jimmy gets those cards.
Maybe Jimmy could donate one of those cards and absolutely they could get not a little better Wi-Fi down there. Because okay, that
move
was
along,
just
dude. Rough. What is wrong with
that? I just wanted to see it and it was hard to watch it. So
it's hard to listen to you.
Fair enough. Brad Becker. What is the SGC announcement?
No.
I actually kind of talked about this on something recently, but I'm not going to tell you unless you go and listen to Collectibles
don't listen
podcast.
To anything.
So, Richie Liveret, who do you think are most underrated? This is an aerial question. Sorry, Richie. You had your chance. You lost it.
One more.
Jacob Roush?
Yep.
This is not. Okay. I'm going to just read it. Jesse, you strike me as a dad joke kind of guy, correct? Can you hit us with one that will make Mike groan loudly? How can you tell the difference between a snowman and a snowwoman? Snow.
It's you can't say that.
I didn't say it.
What is wrong with
it's
you?
Not a real, it's not real dirty. It's just maybe not appropriate.
Where's the bleep button?
Clean it up. All right, that's the show. That's your dad joke. You didn't even get the punchline.
Here's the thing. I'm the worst person to tell jokes to. Jesse knows I have a strict policy. I do not offer sympathy laughs.
No, so you got to really believe in yourself if you're telling him a joke.
We're going to wrap this up officially. So if you're not part of, yes, this is a whole show. We're just pumping up this other app. It's true. We're total sellouts, people. Whatever. I would tell you this. We're giving away like $15,000 to $20,000 worth of singles and wax starting Friday night. So tomorrow night, three words. It's in the app stores. Card Shop Live. All live selling platform. You can buy, sell, trade, a bunch of stuff. We have a bunch of sellers on there already. Me and Jesse are giving away a ton of especially NBA and NFL boxes. We'll be doing some breaks on there. We're going to have that UFC watch-along thing with a couple other guys who are actually into that sport, so they can talk about that.
Cage the Lawyer from Luka Tiger Braun.
Yep. So, this is kind of our big soft launch as opposed to the hard launch June 1st. I don't know the difference.
Let me preface for anybody who's listening outside of the U.S. and Canada, unfortunately, is not available there
not yet.
Yep. But it will be soon.
So there you go. Sports Cards Nonsense. Brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. We will be back on Monday for the regular show with Jeremy Lee to talk some hockey. That's the sport they play on ice.
Love hockey. Let's do it.
See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.